Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on September 26th, 2017. My guest today is a senior software engineer and organizer of the Cleveland C-Sharp VBNet user group, Sam Nasser. How are you?
Very good, Matt. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How long have you been going to user groups, and how long have you been involved in organizing them?
I've been going to them since probably 1998, if you can imagine that far back. And then I started organizing my own starting in 2003, when the current leader pretty much had to step down because of work activities. I've been heading it up in Cleveland since 2003 and still going strong.
That same user group, the Cleveland C-Sharp VBNet user group?
That's the one, yeah.
Was it called that in 1998?
Not quite. It was the VB6 group, and that's initially what got me started in it, because I was working at VB6 at the time. And then, of course, when .NET was introduced, then we morphed over into .NET, and we're carrying both languages, but it tends to be more C-Sharp than VB.NET lately. Membership has grown from approximately 15 members to 550 over the years.
Would you say that learning technical content is the main benefit of attending user groups?
It's one of the main benefits. There's a lot more that goes on actually just by being there and networking with others. Number one, you're expanding your network. Number two, you're also interacting with others, finding out who's working where, what they're working on, the latest technologies that are in the marketplace. And then, believe it or not, I found out that the more you interact with people, the more that you're actually going on an interview without realizing it. I had actually met a couple of friends through there, and we're talking, and always after the meeting, we talk tech. I liked what they had to say. I liked the stuff they were working on, and they liked what I had to say. And little did I know, I ended up getting recommended for a job opening that they had, and it kind of eased the way into a new job. There's a lot more that to be gained from it than just the technical experience or exposure.
So you say that a user group can help to build your network. How do you actually go about building your network? What are some steps you take to do that?
One step that I take is that I learned from another tech friend of mine. Basically, whenever you go to an after event, meaning you're gathering together at a pub or a local restaurant, always sit next to someone that you don't know. Yeah, obviously someone within the group, not a complete stranger, but you sit now next to them and, just have some casual conversations, find out who they are and introduce yourself and just, work the conversation into getting to know each other. I like to make friends more than just for the schmoozing part of it. I like to find out what they're all about, what they're working on, what makes them tick, and that helps me to grow as well.
I found that to be a good strategy at conferences too. If it's lunchtime, I'd like to just pick a table at random and sit down and get to know those people. And sometimes you learn something really interesting and sometimes you don't, but it's still, I think, a good strategy for conferences, and you're applying it to user groups as well. That's very smart.
Absolutely. You got to push the envelope a little bit. Just by staying in your comfort zone, you're not going to expand anything that way. So you got to push it a little bit.
Who else can I find at a user group besides other developers? It seems like it'd be very developer focused, but is there other types of people who show up to these events?
It is very developer focused, but we do get a lot of other folks. So typically we get recruiters that attend, and it's always good to network with recruiters because you want to find out what the market is like, who's hiring, and what you need to get into these job positions. Sooner or later, we're all going to be looking for another job. And it's always good to have good contact with a recruiter. Another thing is vendors and suppliers, where they come out and they want to showcase their product and or sponsor a meeting. It's beneficial because this way you know what products are out on the marketplace and how they can be used on your specific project. There's multiple advantages to networking with other people in the group.
A lot of times, user groups are very classroom style, especially as they get bigger. It's more of a lecture than it is a discussion group, but it is nice when a presentation turns into a discussion. Have you found any ways to make that more possible or facilitate that, especially as a group gets bigger?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, at the beginning of every meeting, I always stress that despite the classroom style seating, we like to have a roundtable type discussion. If I'm the one presenting that day, then I wait to see if a conversation like that will organically start. And if not, I will kind of force it or try to ignite it in the sense of I throw out a question and I say, what do you guys think? And kind of poke around and see what others have to say and kind of stimulate the conversation that way. If someone else is presenting, I kind of back them up where I sit in the audience and I wait to see if a conversation starts. And if not, then I kind of throw out a question that might be a little controversial and hopefully that will get things going. So it's always good to have a discussion and see what other people have to say and how they're approaching a specific problem.
So you're the one who asks the controversial questions that makes me feel uncomfortable when I'm presenting.
Well, I never want to make a presenter feel uncomfortable, but at the same time, I want to kind of break the ice a little bit for the audience and make them feel that they can ask any questions. And likewise, on the opposite end of the token, sometimes when questions get a little too much or someone is getting a little too carried away, I just politely say, this conversation will be better discussed over a beer afterwards, you know, and we can carry it over after the meeting. So it's a fine line, but I think it's definitely good to stimulate conversation in a group.
For the listeners, I know Sam from user group. I've been to his user group before, so I'm just sort of giving him the business. He's absolutely a good-natured guy. He wouldn't put me in an awkward spot like that. So just for those of you that aren't aware of that.
Thanks for the disclaimer.
So you mentioned that going to user groups, sometimes it's sort of a sideways interview, if you will. Could you maybe expand that a little bit? What did you mean by that?
Sure. I don't necessarily mean that it's a secret interview, but indirectly. Like, for example, I had found myself where I was presenting on a few topics, and one topic that I presented on was SQL Server Reporting Services, and I was very passionate about it. Apparently, it showed in my presentation, because afterwards, one of the guys came up and he asked me a question, and we had a good 15-minute discussion about it afterwards. About a month rolls by, and then he calls me, and he's got another SQL Server reporting question, and I gladly answered it. And then a little bit further on, he called me and he said, you know, we actually need some training. Would you be willing to come down and provide training services for our staff? And I gladly obliged. So even every time you step up in front of a group, you're essentially doing a sales pitch or an interview, whether directly or indirectly. You're always selling yourself whenever you're presenting like that to a group. It serves a greater purpose than just the technical content.
So we've talked about some of the benefits of speaking to a user group. And you've been organizing a user group since 2003. What are some of the benefits of being an organizer in a user group?
Number one, you network with a lot of people and you see different folks from different organizations. You meet with recruiters and you also meet with vendors. And you're always the first person that they get in touch with, whether they're looking for hiring someone or they're looking to sponsor the event and say, if there's anything we can do in return, please let us know. One vendor, Highland Software here in Cleveland, they sponsored the group, and then we reached out to them later when we were doing Xamarin Dev Days and we needed a bigger arena. They gladly stepped up and provided a 200-seat venue free of charge. Not only did they roll out the red carpet for us, but they pretty much left us an open invitation to come back whenever needed. You get a lot of exposure to a lot of people and a lot of organizations as the user group leader.
I also helped to organize a user group here in Columbus, and it is an uplifting experience to talk to vendors and recruiters and consulting companies that are really excited to be involved in your group and help you out. That in and of itself is a benefit to me, just to know that there's these great people out there in the community.
Absolutely. Probably the biggest kicker of them all is when someone reaches out to me and says, I'm looking for work. And then the next day I get an email from someone else who is looking to hire someone and I connect the two. To me, that's the biggest thrill of it all. And it's happened several times and it worked out for the best for everyone included. A lot of benefits to be gained from networking with others.
I'm going to ask you a very leading question now, because I think I know what the answer is. But what if I can't find a good user group near where I live?
The answer is fairly simple. Create one. And now it seems to be easier than ever. You get onto meetup.com and you can create a website fairly quickly for a group. There's a lot of consulting companies that are looking to have user groups come into their space. A lot of the tech elevators of the world and the coding camps, they're looking to build a rapport like that among the community, not to mention vendors like Microsoft. Also, you can find free venue space in local universities, your local libraries. In addition, to help get the word out, there's a website called nextplex.com, N-E-X-T-P-L-E-X.com. They basically scour the internet for local user groups and meetings, and they send out email blasts free of charge. So it helps to get the word out. And Meetup has become a very popular site for the same purpose as well. You can reach out to a variety of people through multiple ways, and it's very easy to start a user group. Don't necessarily get bogged down in all the details where you have to, you know, set up a nonprofit for collecting funds or, you know, set up a board or anything like that. Just start out simple, and it will organically grow and mature in itself.
Can you recommend any other resources for getting involved with user groups or starting user group?
Yours truly, Sam Nasser at live.com. If anyone's interested in helping get a user group off the ground, or if you're looking for a speaker or just any questions in general, I'd be happy to help out any way I can.
Is there anything else you'd like to promote before we wrap up the show?
No, I just wanted to thank you for having me on. It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll stimulate some people out there to actually attend their local user groups, and if there's none local, that they would actually create one. You will be very glad that you participated.
My guest today has been Sam Nasser. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns Podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Trekkers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.